Carlson, Beck, Hannity, Levin, Larson, and Savage. Wow. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Right back to it, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Again, as the world looks on, absolutely startled and aghast that 4 days after the fact, we still don't know what became of Malaysian Air Flight 370. Can you imagine being the loved one of a passenger? One of three Americans on that flight is Phil Wood from Texas, and his longtime girlfriend spoke to CBS News.
I often felt like it was just too perfect. How could this happen?
You met this guy, Philip. You fell in love with him.
Yeah, you know, you're almost 50, and he just turned 50. And you find the love of your life, you know, a soulmate. How could fate have allowed him to come into my life only to take him away again?
That is Sarah Bajak. She and Phil Wood were set to move to Malaysia together. He works in Beijing for IBM. And, of course, the plane has disappeared. No one has any idea what happened to the plane. No one has any idea where the plane is 4 days after it disappeared.
The clothes in his closet are the worst. Oh, because I opened the closet and it smells like him.
She's living among boxes of packed belongings. Again, they were just getting ready to move and basically start the next chapter in their life together in Malaysia. Now her life, of course, completely turned upside down. She vents her frustration at these continuing news reports that raise one false hope after another. The talk about catastrophe and failure and terrorism and all that, despite so far no evidence that the plane has crashed.
You know, people all over the news are talking about people being already dead. Everybody's completely just stopped paying attention to the fact that there actually could still be survivors. But there doesn't seem to be any of that urgency.
Well, I understand why Ms. Bajak feels that way. But again, there's no sign that anybody on board that plane has in any way tried to reach out and let a loved one know that they're okay. There's no sign that anyone who was on that plane when it took off is still alive. Yet she still holds out hope that the plane is safe.
I mean, when I have to... Until there's proof, that Philip is dead, I refuse to believe it. Of anybody that could survive something like this, it's him. I mean, he's such a fighter, and he has so much to live for.
And to add a cruel, ironic twist here, Philip would almost miss that flight. He was running late and thought that he wouldn't make it, but he made it just at the last minute and got aboard. And again, people still wondering how on earth this happened or what happened. And as soon as we hear anything, we'll let you know. And again, in about 10 minutes at 7:04, I'll be talking with Scott Hamilton about what he thinks may have happened to Flight 370, or what he feels we now know didn't happen as we try and narrow the range of possibilities. Also at 7:20, we hear a lot about whether the Republican Party is a big tent party, whether it's welcoming of different points of view, whether people can hold liberal positions on social issues and still be welcome in the Republican Party. Maybe the Democrats should train that question on themselves. They just lost a very popular former legislator, Mark Malosha, from Federal Way, who was quite liberal on economic matters, but also, as a devout Roman Catholic, was conservative on life issues, on right to life, on a traditionalist when it came to marriage. And that was reason enough for him to be basically welcomed out of the party. And so we are going to be talking to him at 7:20. Some relatives have been able to call the cell phones of their loved ones on 370. When they dialed some passengers' numbers, they seemed to get ringing tones on the other side, but no pickups. The phantom calls triggered a new level of desperation. For some, they tried repeatedly to ask airline and police officials about the ringing calls. However unlikely it was, many thought the phones might still be on, and if authorities just tracked them down, their relatives might be found. According to the Singapore Straits Times, a Malaysia Airlines official told families that the company tried calling the mobile phones of the crew members as well, and that they also had rang. The company turned over the phone numbers to Chinese authorities. So did the phone batteries run out, damaged by seawater perhaps? Just a random anomaly? We are still waiting for those questions to those answers as well.
Strange unanswered angle to all of this. And I guess this kind of goes back to, we are finding out basically that the pilots and the crew didn't have a chance to radio any distress. And we know a little bit about what happened on September 11th, where the flights were overtaken and people immediately pulled out their cell phones and started making phone calls to report what was going on. So that comes back to something happened instantaneously on this flight. Now, you fly a fair amount, John, and I heard some radio friends kind of talking about this yesterday. When you climb aboard that flight and they kind of do that last ready for departure push out, and they're on the aiming down the runway, getting ready to hit full throttle, do you usually think about whether or not something could go wrong on your flight? Does that ever pass through your mind when you're sitting there just as they're ready to go full throttle?
Only when the plane has rumbled off the runway and is soaring into the air. Mm-hmm. Usually that's when something amiss
that's
might happen.
One of the more...
And I think about it fleetingly, and then I just let it pass.
It passes through my mind every flight. I don't fly all that often, but it's something that goes through my mind every flight. And airplane travel is still the safest way to go.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
Absolutely, by far the safest way to travel anywhere. Safest mode of transportation. Scott Hamilton, aviation specialist, with more on 370 right after this.